The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. And today we're going to be talking about a very important topic, and that is preventing and reducing youth and adult tobacco use. And we've talked about this topic many times on Healthy Ulster Radio, and sometimes listeners will ask, well, why are you doing it again? The reason why we're doing it again is because smoking-related diseases count for 4 out of 5 leading causes of death here in Ulster County. And smoking-related diseases kill over 485,000 Americans each and every year. So when we talk about some of the, we talk about 1 million people dying from COVID, 500,000 Americans die year in and year out from smoking related diseases. And we have two really great guests to educate us and to discuss this topic. And they are Susan Lennon, who's manager of health promotions at American Lung Association Center for Tobacco-Free Hudson Valley, and Kushbu Ubadye. She is specialist in health promotions for American Lung Association, also at the Center for Tobacco-Free Hudson Valley. So welcome, Susan, and welcome, Kushbu.
Thank you, Vin. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you back, Susan. I know you've been on a few times already. So, Susan, tobacco companies continue to spend enormous amounts of money marketing their products, and partially it's what got them into trouble when they were sued by the attorneys generals across the nation. Talk to us a little bit about that from your perspective.
Absolutely. Thanks for this opportunity, Vin. The tobacco companies, I'm not trying to promote them, but they are really, really good at what they do. And they have been out addicting people in this country to their deadly products for decades. They spend, in 2019, they spent $22.5 million every day on advertising and marketing. And the amount of money that New York State collects in tobacco revenue is $2.36 billion every year, just on taxes on tobacco products that are sold, and from the master tobacco settlement that you just referred to, that New York is still getting money from. So there's millions and billions of dollars flowing around from taxes on the products and the tobacco companies, what they spend on marketing to attract their next generation of tobacco users. It's insidious. It's a product that kills people, that makes people very sick. It costs the public a lot of money. First of all, emotional toll. Almost everybody you could imagine or that I know has lost somebody to a tobacco-related disease. My own mother was a victim. Aside from the human cost of tobacco in New York State, there's an economic cost. There's the annual healthcare costs in New York directly caused by smoking is $9.7 billion. That's per year. And the annual Medicaid costs caused by smoking in New York each year, $2.7 billion. So collectively, the New York State residents' each household tax burden from the impacts of smoking is $937. So we are all impacted one way or another by these products and the toll they take on people's families, on their health, and certainly the economic toll.
Mm-hmm. And right here in Ulster County, Susan, our local share of Medicaid costs. Now, for listeners who don't know, Medicaid is health insurance provided through the federal government for low-income persons, right? So this population of individuals has smoking rates and chronic disease rates that are much, much higher than the general population. Mm-hmm. So our local share, the part that Ulster County taxpayers pay of Medicaid costs each and every year, is $76 million. Much of that goes toward treating the chronic diseases caused by smoking. So it has a direct impact on taxpayers federally, on a state level, and on a local level. And Susan, you mentioned the tobacco settlements. And for listeners who may not be aware of that, attorneys generals from across the nation got together and sued the tobacco companies using the argument that you knew by your own research that you had highly addictive and dangerous products that would harm people, yet you continued to aggressively market them. And the tobacco companies lost, and they had to pay billions and billions of dollars over time to states and communities all over the country. That being said, they seem to be back to their you know previous levels of advertising. And then you know when they lost their way with cigarettes, they moved to vaping and creating another epidemic with our kids. And now they're also investing in big cannabis, but that's a whole other story. So Susan, before, you know, I can go on and on, and I should spare our listeners.
Well, everything you say is absolutely true. And so to go back to your original question, why is it still important to talk about smoking and tobacco use? And these are the reasons why, because although it doesn't, there's a lot going on in this country right now. We have a lot of crises in front of us, medical crises. We've had the pandemic and we're still feeling the effects of that. There's a tremendous increase in mental health needs. People are struggling with depression and all kinds of anxiety. People have gone back to smoking. People have using more alcohol. So more crisis type of concerns or chronic diseases, let's just say. So you would look and say, oh, for heaven's sakes, we know smoking's not good for you. And we understand that, but people are still smoking. And there's certain populations that we have seen that are still smoking at the highest rates. I mean, good news is since the tobacco control program that we work for began in the year 2000 till now, the smoking rate in New York State has gone from 21.6%, so 22 people for every 100 smoking, to now it's down to 12%. So it's tremendous health, major public health progress.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
I was going to say that that's the average, but it's considerably higher with low-income and minority populations, is it not?
Exactly. So the populations who still are smoking at the highest rate, so the smokers who are Medicaid enrollees, smokers who are frequent mental distress, who are living with disabilities, making less than $25,000, so potentially living in poverty, they're smoking still at the highest rates from, 18% to 25%. And people who are suffering from serious mental illness, they smoke in the 70 to 90% range. So what we're tasked with doing and that we love to do is our program underneath the auspices of the tobacco control program is called Health Systems. And we work with medical and mental health, behavioral health organizations to educate and train their staff on the best practice treatments for tobacco. And I want to stop for one quick second here and just clarify one thing, that when I'm talking about tobacco during this radio program, I'm talking about commercial tobacco, meaning the harmful products that are made and sold by tobacco companies. I'm not referring to traditional tobacco, which is used by indigenous groups for religious or ceremonial purposes. I just like to make that distinction so people are clear on that. But we are reaching out to organizations where people of these populations we just mentioned who are smoking still at very high rates that they go to for their health care or their mental health care. So we're working with federally qualified health centers, community health clinics, mental health agencies, and substance use recovery organizations. This is where people who are going for their medical needs and mental health needs are going. And we are trying to make sure that the counselors that they're seeing and the doctors that they're seeing are prepared with the best practice tobacco dependence treatment. Most people don't go to the doctor or to the mental health organizations to get help quitting smoking, but people should be assessed for their tobacco use and offered assistance if they're interested in quitting. This is a problem we have a solution to. We know what works. There's no more question about it. So we have the ability to help people to quit smoking when they're ready. Not that everybody's ready all the time, but we really want to make it clear that there is a path to cessation, to quitting smoking, and there are a lot of resources out there to help people when they're ready.
Mm-hmm. And what is a, we have about 1 minute left in the first segment here, Susan. What does a best, can you give us an example of a best practice for cessation? Something that works?
Yes. Thank you for asking that question. So because tobacco dependence is a two-part problem, meaning that the body is addicted to the nicotine, so that's a physical addiction or physiological addiction, and then there's the counseling part where the patterns and behaviors have to be addressed. So it's a two-part solution is necessary as well.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to find out a little bit more about and go into a little bit more detail after the break. Right now, we're going to go into a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these short words.
Heart attacks won't wait. If you ever have symptoms of a heart attack, you need to get to the nearest emergency department, preferably one with the technology and expertise to stop a heart attack in its tracks. Health Alliance Hospital, right here on Broadway in Kingston, has expanded cardiac services, including catheterization and electrophysiology. Now, for many people, Health Alliance in Kingston is the closest option to find treatment of clogged arteries, irregular heartbeats, and to limit damage from a heart attack already in process. For the first time, we have these advanced heart health services based right here in Ulster County. This expansion is part of a larger plan to bring advanced cardiac services to Ulster County and the surrounding communities. If you have heart attack symptoms, do not wait. Call 911 and get to the closest emergency department. At Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston, we are ready to see you now. That's Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston. WMC Health, advancing care here.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Today, we're talking about how to prevent and reduce youth and adult tobacco use. And our guests are Susan Lennon, who's manager of health promotions at American Lung Association Center for Tobacco-Free Hudson Valley, and Kushbu Yubodye, who is Kushbu is specialist of health promotions at American Lung Association Center for Tobacco-Free Hudson Valley. Susan, before the break, we were talking about best practice cessation for helping people quit smoking. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yes, I can. So the medications that are approved by the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, that have been approved and proven, scientifically proven to be effective are, there's five nicotine replacement therapies. We call those NRTs, and that's the patch, a gum, lozenge, nasal spray, and the inhaler. And then there's two medications that are non-nicotine products, and it's bupropion, which is marketed under the name of Zyban, and then there's varenicline, which is marketed under the name of Chantix. So the medications prove to be effective to help people quit smoking. The other part of the treatment is the counseling. So when people are smoking or using tobacco, it's a very ritual-related process. So people have their patterns they develop over time and their rituals that they use for their cigarettes and tobacco products. So you have to insert other activities to take the place of those patterns if you're going to have a successful quit attempt. And there's a lot of strategies available in a cessation program that are proven to be effective as well. So there is, like I said before, this is a problem we have a solution for.
Mm-hmm. And it's not easy, but it's possible, right?
Exactly. It's not easy for sure.
Mm-hmm. So Kushbu, there's this belief out there that somehow, and tobacco companies kind of promote it, that vaping or electronic cigarettes are an effective cessation tool. What are the costs and benefits of that? And what is the what's the truth behind the marketing?
Sure. So let me start by giving you some background about e-cigarettes, often called as electronic cigarettes. These are relatively new products, tobacco products that have been sold in U.S. market since over a decade. Oftentimes, they're referred to as electronic nicotine delivery systems, the short form being ENDS. In short, these are basically battery-operated devices in order to deliver nicotine. These devices have evolved over time and have different names. So in the market, you may find the e-cigarettes in form of vapes, mods, pods, electric hookers, vape pens, etc. Now, these devices contain e-liquid, which are known to contain nicotine, which is derived from tobacco, a highly addictive substance. Along with this, there are other harmful chemicals, as well as heavy metals like lead, nickel, and tin. Now, e-cigarette has been operating in a completely unregulated market, and the lack of oversight has led to this confusion around this relatively new tobacco product. Claims that e-cigarettes can help smokers quit are unsubstantiated by studies or scientific evidence. In fact, most e-cigarette users still continue to use their traditional cigarettes along with e-cigarettes, even though they attempted to quit, considering e-cigarettes might help them with cessation. One important thing which I would like to highlight here is that FDA has not approved any e-cigarette as a cessation device. Now, the most troubling part about these devices are they are heavily targeted towards our younger population. From 2014 is when New York State started publishing data about the usage of e-cigarettes among our youth. The numbers in 2014 were close to 10% among our youth consuming these electronic nicotine-derived delivery systems. These numbers have skyrocketed in 2018, close to 27%, which is very high. And in the last couple of years, we have seen a slight decline, close to 22%, by which I mean that around 22% of our young population are still consuming electronic and electronic cigarettes. One thing which we learned from this data is that our youth are consuming e-cigarettes and not using the traditional form of cigarettes. Very much they are unaware of the harmful products which are present inside these devices. And oftentimes they go unnoticed by the parents as well. So e-cigarettes are definitely not being approved by the FDA as a cessation device. And being a relatively new product, scientists are still exploring the harmful effects of these products that can cause in long run. And we still need a lot of work that needs to be done in order to control these rising e-cigarette epidemic among our youth.
Mm-hmm. And aside from the additives, just the nicotine itself is a super highly addictive substance, so much so that, you know, the Surgeon General called youth vaping a public health crisis and said that it's reached epidemic proportions. You know, we educate and promote heavily to parents, warning them about the signs. And we get calls all the time from schools and school districts asking for help about because they discover so much vaping going on, you know, whether it's in bathrooms, hallways, out to wherever it may be. And so, Susan, just recently in the news, Juul, a famous vaping e-cigarette company, just lost a major lawsuit, did they not? What was that all about?
They had a lawsuit against them similar to the Master Tobacco Settlement. Companies joined together to sue them against the impact of Juul, the marketing that they were providing, and also the high content of nicotine in their products. They were mm-hmm. very, very, very targeted towards young people. Mm-hmm. So they lost a lawsuit. They had to seek some financial assistance to keep from going out of business, and they now have to pay these fines back, which is in the millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. The other thing that just happened yesterday was that there was a court ordered requiring tobacco companies to post signs about the health risks of smoking at over 200,000 stores across the United States. And this is from a 2006 racketeering case that just has come and been resolved. So this is against some of the top three tobacco companies. We call them Big Tobacco. And they have been litigating this since 2006. But just last night, the final court decision came that they are going to be, starting in 2023, they're going to need to post signs about the health consequences, the true deadly consequences of cigarette smoking at nearly 200,000 retail outlets across the nation. So there's efforts being made on a lot of different fronts to try to protect people and young people. And we work really hard to help people quit smoking. But anytime you can prevent somebody from starting, that's the best solution.
Right. That's the holy grail, right?
Because
it's so much more difficult to get addicted adult smoker to stop than it is to prevent kids from initiating tobacco use in the first place.
Right. The kids will always experiment. We know we were kids once a million years ago. And there's nothing you can do to stop this risky behavior. Their brains aren't fully developed yet. They feel empowered and invincible. But companies like the big tobacco companies just laser focus targeted young people by putting flavors in tobacco products, by putting flavors in the e-juice. And even though in 2020, New York State passed a slate of legislation to protect young people, and one of the items was to prohibiting the sale of flavored electronic juice, e-juice. But they're still being sold all over the place.
Yeah, there's a lot of enforcement problems because
exactly.
Like we as a local health department, we don't have the staff to do the kinds of vigorous enforcement that that the crisis demands, really.
Exactly.
We just don't have it.
No, exactly right. And I know Kushbu has some information about a recent development in Westchester on other flavored tobacco products. Do you want to talk about that, Kushbu?
Sure. I'm more than happy to share about that. So recently, Westchester County Board of Legislators voted in favor of a law to ban flavored tobacco products, including menthol cigarettes. Now, this ban would include mainly flavored tobaccos like hookah, flavored pipe tobacco, flavored cigars, which have been proven more popular among our young smokers. So clearly, if this bill is passed, Westchester would become the first county in New York State to set an example for not only just the neighboring counties, but also in New York State. And it is just one step forward in order to bring the smoking rates down among our younger population.
And I know this is something that we are working on here in Ulster County. We're not there yet. There's still work to be done, education and awareness, but we're working on it. So before we run out of time, and we are running out of time rapidly here, Susan and Kushbu, where can people get help to quit smoking? And is it reimbursable by insurance, Medicaid, Medicare, et cetera?
We do have some really strong resources in New York State to help people quit smoking. And the first one, well, the main thing is we encourage people to speak to their healthcare provider. When people work with their healthcare provider or their mental health care provider, they're 2 to 3 times more likely to successfully quit smoking. Then there's the New York State Smokers Quit Line, which is free coaching, help with setting up a quit plan. They have a very robust texting plan for young people interested in quitting using electronic cigarettes. It's called Drop the Vape. They have an online chat program. And that is, phone number is 1-866-NY-QUITS, Q-U-I-T-S, 1-866-697-8487. The American Lung Association has a strong Freedom from Smoking program. It's a virtual online program. And it's a gold standard quit smoking program. So that can be found at www.lung.org. And let's not forget, the new year is right around the corner. So this might be just the right time of year for people who maybe were thinking of doing it, taking the plunge or trying to quit, if not for the first time, maybe for the fifth time or sixth time. Mm-hmm. The best thing anybody could possibly do for their health. And it's we really encourage people not to give up, not to think that they're too old to quit. We've had people quit in their 80s.
Well, this is great information and so important. Smoking tobacco use is so dangerous no matter how you do it. So Susan and Kushbu, thank you so much for the work that you and your colleagues do. We're very grateful, and we look forward to continuing to work with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department and Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.